Da, 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 da.
Confidence! Woo woo!
Don't let your haters slow you down.
Why are you so confident though? Who should be the mayor of this city?
Preach, preach. On today's episode of Corporate Homie,
we're on the job hunt. Why do you want a new job?
That's not your best selfie that you took.
Headshot happy hours.
What does that mean?
Tell everybody.
Right. Hello, Peter. What's happening? I'm gonna need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay? Oh, and I almost forgot. I'm also gonna need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay? We lost some people this week, and we need to sort of play catch up. Thanks.
Hey, homies.
What up, homies? We are so excited to be back with you today.
Red Bull excited.
We are talking today about the job hunt.
We're on the job hunt.
That is a play on a little thing my mom used to do when we were in, like,
toddlers.
I'm going to say, like, preschool. We're on the paper hunt.
To get us to pick up paper and clean up.
Yeah, to get us to pick up paper. I've not heard that in, like, forever, and I'm not even sure why I don't even know why I remember that.
But anyway, we're off task.
Right. When you're on the job hunt, and so we know that there are often times when I have been looking for a job, and I know Bemetra as well, but also when people are just, they're ready for a transition, ready to make a change at work. And so today we just want to talk a little bit about, you know, what that looks like and how you go about it and make sure that you don't forget the basics with all, as my grandmother would say, with all this newfangled technology and new things, that you don't forget all of the other things you should be doing as you go into wanting a new job.
Yeah, how to find a new job, what to do, what not to do, all those good things.
And then more importantly, you know, I would also say before we get into the job hunt, the most important thing to kind of start off with is, why do you want a new job? Because why you want a new job is certainly going to affect and impact how you approach your search. If it's out of desperation, your search will feel desperate. You will feel desperate to the people that you are asking for their assistance, whether it be the actual person that's going to give you the job or someone who you're asking to assist you with information in connection with the job. So you want to be coming from a position of strength in the job hunt and a really super duper positive attitude, and not this really desperate place, which makes me start with sort of, if you think that you are in trouble at work, and I don't mean just you personally and your performance, but that the company is in trouble, and you usually can see the signs. There are lots of downsizing, or maybe the paychecks are not coming. We certainly have friends who've been in situations where the company has been in those. Then you need to already start the jobs hunt and not wait until it's in a dire situation.
I mean, the old adage really is true. It's easier to find a job with a job. So you definitely want to make sure that you're being proactive, especially if you can see the writing on the wall and that things have started to change, not just from your individual performance, but from an organizational standpoint. So,
right. And then sometimes, you know, you're ready for a new job because it's a really exciting time. You've realized that you've outgrown your position, or you're ready to be promoted and stretched, and that opportunity is just not available within your organization. Getting a new job or wanting to search for a new job is not always necessarily bad. I remember when I was changing firms, I actually had the support and actually was encouraged by someone within my organization to start looking, because they understood that where my skill set was going and within my practice area, my current firm really didn't have the structure to support that. And so it doesn't have to be a negative thing just because you are on the job seeking, and you need to sort of understand how you're going to be going into the transition. So let's jump into sort of now that you know you're going to
make a change.
Right. You're going to make the change. What are some things you should be doing to make the change? And so today's episode is going to be a little bit different because we're just going to do a list, which we don't do a lot of lists, but I think this might be the one that you may want to take notes. If you are in the car or if you are, you know, cooking or on the treadmill when you're listening to this episode, we're going to try to just put the tips, not necessarily the points, but we will put all of like bullet points of the tips in the show notes and probably put them on the blog so that you can come back to them because these are like actual lists this time. So the first tip that I have for a thing you should do that you actually should do in the job hunt is start with your network. I think that sometimes people want to like stealth look for a job. You can't stealth look for a job. You need to tell people that you're looking for a job because oftentimes, and I do think this is something that I see all the time in corporate America, but I do not necessarily see a lot of with women and minorities. It is not uncommon, even at my firm, for us to get a blast email that says, hey, everybody.
My nephew just graduated from the University of Texas and he's a finance major. He's such a good kid. He was the president of his fraternity. If anybody knows anybody, let me know.
Right. And that's the job, the beginning job seeker. But we also get the ones that say, hey, everybody, as you probably know, so-and-so got a new CEO and there's been a change and the CFO is out of a job. Here's his resume. If anybody knows anybody who's looking for a CFO, pass John's resume over.
So basically in our Bone Thugs and Harmony's voice, we're going to tell everybody.
Tell everybody. We're going to tell everybody. Right. Tell everybody.
Be vulnerable.
Be vulnerable. And so I think that while online resources and resume writing places and all that stuff you find online are extremely helpful, and you definitely should be using those, the deeper your network is, the more chances you are at finding the next job.
And in that same vein, I think not only do you want to use your network, but you really want to use your network's network and get just outside of that bubble because they're going to know people that you don't know. So that would say that that's the second tip, is you want to get outside of your network and use your network's network. And like I said, that does take a certain degree of vulnerability because, you know, you may know somebody who knows someone that you don't know, and you want to be able to get to those people in order to make sure that they know that you're looking for a job, and they may know about positions, opportunities, things that are a great fit for you that you and your network don't personally know.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think we're all probably a little guilty of that because we don't want to necessarily, as Bimitra said, be that vulnerable, but it really is about telling everybody that you know. So the third tip that I have is when you're putting together your resume, and I do think that most jobs in corporate America still require a resume, so I want to start there. I know that there's almost a tendency, especially with millennials, especially to want to be very creative and go outside the box and create like a personal website with their resume on it and all of that. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you still do need to have an actual paper resume because most Fortune 500 companies still require a resume that's going to be submitted through some type of online application process. What you need to understand when you're submitting your resume in that is that the initial cut is going to be reviewed by a computer system or an applicant tracking system, more than likely. I read a statistic recently that said for each job, there are about 250 resumes submitted for a job. So when you think about that, the only way, I won't say the only way, but probably the most efficient way to get that down is have a computer to scan through them. What the computer then is doing, since you know it's not an actual person, is that it is looking for keywords. And so those keywords are what are going to get you scanned down. So you want to make sure that you are studying the job description, that you understand what the job description is, and that your resume almost mirrors those words. Don't try to be tricky and use a synonym or a homonym or anything like that, because you want the tracking system to grasp it. And then realizing that after it goes through the tracking system, before anybody who's actually the person who's going to interview you or anything, it's probably going to be a low level person in HR who then screens it, and then they will then be still looking for almost like bullet point. Okay, we needed this. This person needed to have this. They needed to have that. And so you want to make sure that your, I guess my tip would be, look like an obvious choice. Make sure that your package, your written application, your written resume makes you look like an obvious choice for the position you're applying for.
And you know, the fourth tip as it relates to the job hunt and the resume would be to get a second set of eyes to review that resume, preferably somebody who successfully currently works in that industry, because they'll know some of those bullet points, certain way that you describe what your job is, the catchphrases.
Right.
So for example, they'll know to say, instead of saying, well, I hit my sales goal last year, they'll say, no, you want to say I exceeded my sales goal by 110%. So I would say, you know, don't be afraid to reach out to someone who works in that industry to get them to review your resume prior to submitting, because as Demetra mentioned, it is highly competitive. And your first thing that you're trying to do is make the cut to get an interview.
Yeah, and I would say to follow up with that, and I'm always surprised because I get a lot of people asking me to review their resume and will I look at their resume? And it's not that I won't do it. I'm happy to do it. But I always think to myself, like, I don't have an expertise in resume review. Like, I went to law school. I've been practicing for a number of years. That's not really my wheelhouse. And so I think what Demetra is saying is extremely important. Like, you really need someone who knows how companies are reviewing resumes. You know, you don't want to tell somebody, no, I don't want to review your resume, but you really want to be thinking about who is the person that you're asking to review it. Because most of us do, even as I sit here, I know that I know people who work in HR. I know people that have had a career in recruiting, a career in HR, and those are the people you should be reaching out to. So my next point would be, I guess we're up to number five, is go behind the application. So now you have, you know, talk to your network. You've got a paper application that's looking like an obvious choice. You've had a friend look at the application. Now you want to like go beyond that and start thinking, okay, I applied for a job at, I don't know, I'm going to make up a company, GE. Figure out like, who do I know at GE? Do I know anyone at GE? If I don't know anyone at GE, do I know anybody who works in this role at one of GE's competitors? At that point, you know, you'll hear people saying, well, that's when you schedule the informational interview. When people are saying that, I don't speak very formally in that way. So when I think of an informational interview, that's when I ask people if they'll have a cup of coffee with me to talk about what they do, talk about the role, especially if it's going to be a new role for me. And typically my tip on that is, most people will give you 15 minutes, especially if they do not have to leave their office. They don't want to give you a 15-minute coffee that they have to drive 30 minutes to arrive to get to the coffee. But if you bring the coffee to their office, they're more likely to give you that. And so I would always say, like, kind of go behind the application and find people at the company to discuss the role.
Right. And I would say once you get that person to give you the coffee, give you the informational interview, you want to be clear about the type of position, the industry, your skill set, and how it applies to that. I can't tell you how many times I've sat down with someone who says, you know, because I get a lot of the people send their Black females and finance people to come talk to me. And then when you ask them, you know, what do you want to do? What kind of position are you looking for? They're like, oh, I want to do something in finance. It's like, well, there were 1900 careers.
Yeah, like what in finance? Finance? Like, what, yeah, like what exactly do you want to do in finance? You know, like, do you want to be a banker? Do you want to be in securities?
You want to be in real estate finance? You want to be in bonds? You know, what is that? What does that mean? And so I would say, you know, be clear about, that would be my tip. Be clear about the type of position, the industry, and how your educational background and skill set fits into that, so that people know how to help you and how to assist you be successful.
So my next tip would be, you've got to be on LinkedIn. Like, if, in this day and age, if you think you're looking for a job and you're not on LinkedIn, you really don't exist. I read a statistic that said 90% of recruiters are on LinkedIn. I don't think of LinkedIn as social media, and I don't think you should either. LinkedIn is, to me, absolutely a professional platform. LinkedIn can also help you with the tip we had earlier about finding people at the company, because you can put in your network. It kind of combines some of these tips, because you can put in, like, I'm looking for who in my network knows somebody, I'll stick with the GE analogy, who knows somebody at GE, and then it'll show you who in your contacts knows someone at GE and who within their contacts right. knows someone, which goes to Bemetra's tip of getting outside of your network. I think that the whole LinkedIn piece is also important because it's a reminder that the LinkedIn, your LinkedIn actually needs to be people you know. So you shouldn't just be randomly willy-nilly adding people to LinkedIn, because if you do that, then when it's time for you to use it for a purpose like this, it won't be helpful, because maybe someone will come up and it'll say something like, I don't know, Alan Jones is the person at GE. And you'll be thinking to yourself, who is Alan Jones? Like, I don't even remember Alan Jones. I don't remember meeting him. And so I treat mine like my actual Rolodex. I don't add people that I don't know, because I also know that
unless they're recruiters.
Right. Unless they're recruiters, right? Because they could bring me an opportunity. I have had many people email me and say, hey, I just submitted for a job at GE. I saw in your, I don't know so-and-so. Do you know such and such? Because I've learned she is the person that is actually hiring for the position. Can you tell me something about her? Can you help me with that? Blah, blah, blah. And so that currency really does work. And so you need your LinkedIn profile to be up to date. You need it to be accurate. You need a good professional headshot that is on there, because everyone is still very visual. And so that's going to matter.
And when she says professional headshot, that's not your best selfie that you took. That's
yes,
not you at the beach.
I can't
tell you how many people that you go to their LinkedIn profile and it's not professional.
Or they're sitting at some restaurant booth.
It's not professional. And then you go click on them to contact them, and it has some knucklehead email address, like hoping to make it big at yahoo.com.
Or cutiepie at Gmail.
And you're like, no, I think you want the boring Bemetra Simmons at Yahoo, BK Simmons, you know, whatever.
Gmail, yeah.
So, things like that.
And then also with the professional headshot, because I'm sure some people are like, well, look, I don't know a professional photographer. There are so many people who now do like headshot happy hours, where professional organizations will have a headshot lounge, or they'll have a headshot lounge at a conference. And so if you don't have the financial means to just go and get a photographer and go get professional headshots, that is a great way to get a very professional headshot. It usually requires a little bit more diligence. It's usually like the day before the conference starts, or they're doing the headshots at like 6 or 7 a.m. because they're doing it, you know, in early in the morning before the session starts. But that is a great time to go and get your professional headshot done so that you have something ready to go.
All right. And then the next thing that I would say is you've got to be yourself. You have to let your personality come through. You can't try to be some version of yourself that you think that the organizations are looking for. Authenticity matters. It's going to be very difficult to land a position trying to be your idea of what they're looking for, because that's not going to work for you. So I would say, you know, that would be my ninth tip, is to, you know, be yourself and let your personality come through.
So the 10th tip and the final tip, and it sort of goes right with that for me, is clean up your public profile. In this day and age, if you are looking for a job, you should Google yourself. You need to understand and know what is out there about you. So sort of exactly in the same vein of what Bemetra was saying about if your professional headshot is out there, but also like if all of your Facebook profile pictures are like you with your line sisters with a red cup in your hand because y'all were at homecoming, or you know, being silly, or it's a picture of you in your bikini at the beach. I mean, that might work depending on what kind of job you want to apply for. But if you're applying to work in financial services, you probably don't want that to be what they see. And I know there's lots of arguments and legal arguments about whether a, you know, employer can be using that information against you or whatever. But what you should know is anything that is actually out there is available for people to see. And so don't think just because, well, my Facebook profile,
my privacy shortcut says that people can't see
right.
it. Like, you can't be that naive.
Right. Because what we also know is you might not be Facebook friends with the person, but they, because we just got through talking about people's network, they could be friends with someone you're friends with and see all your entire Facebook page. If you're looking for a job, that might be even the time to take a social media break, but you certainly at a bare minimum need to Google yourself. And I would say clean up your public profile and make sure you are curating and developing your public presence in a way that you think is going to showcase you well.
So we talked a lot about things to do and all these great tips of things to do when you're looking for a job. You know, I think that we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the things that you don't want to do when you're looking for a job. And, you know, the very first thing I would say, and I know it's going to sound cliche, but you got to start with the basics. You know, you don't want to be late. You want to be dressed appropriately. And when I say dressed appropriately, that's going to mean different things for different industries. I think if I'm looking for a position at a graphic design company, I might be dressed differently than if I'm going to go work for a law firm.
Yeah, because, you know, like, and, you know, Bimitra is so right. Like, fundamentals, like, get your fundamentals down. And I think these are the things that people forget. I always remember this, and maybe because it struck me as I was like, yeah. I remember I was listening to a client on a panel one time. He was one of the firm's clients, and he runs a gaming company. He's the CEO of a gaming company, and he was talking about how he selected his outside counsel. And one of the things he said was almost all the law firms that came to pitch, except for the guy who he gave the business to, who actually worked at my firm, of course, everyone showed up in suits. And he said before they ever talked, before they ever got their pitch out, he understood that they could not be his lawyer. He's like, we're gamers, and you're dressed like you're going to represent, you know, a bank. And like, this just not going to work. Like, that tells me you don't understand me. You don't understand my business. And I use that because they were in dark suits. They were in white shirts and blue ties. When we say be professionally dressed and be dressed appropriately, it means for the job that you want, you've got to understand that. My other tip with that would be with the basics is no misspellings. Apparently, misspellings are the biggest reasons that people don't get jobs. They have misspellings or typos on their resumes. They have misspellings or typos in their thank you notes. I will be completely frank. When I get a handwritten thank you note from someone and they have to scratch stuff out and start over, I always think to myself, why didn't they start with a fresh thank you? Like, it's just a little thank you card. Or they send me an email and it has a misspelling. I think.
My name is misspelled.
We're done. And you know why that cracks me up? Because you have to spell it right to send me the email, and then you misspell it in the body of the email. And so, like B says, you're done. And not because you don't spell well, because you don't have an attention to detail.
You don't pay attention to details. That's tip number one. Tip number two, be prepared. I cannot tell you how many times I've been in an interview or informational interview. The person knows nothing about me. They haven't Googled me. My name is Jane Smith. I am the only Bimitra on Facebook. The only other Bimitra on Facebook is a town
city in India.
If you don't know anything about me, you don't know anything about the company, I'm done. Like, I'm going to put as much time into helping you or thinking about hiring you as you put into your job search. None.
Right. And I've had people do that too. I've had that happen too, where someone has come and told me that they were interested in working at the law firm. And then they'll ask me something like, or they'll say something like, and I'm really interested in family law. And I think to myself, what are you talking about, Tom? We don't do that. My law firm doesn't do family law. Like, so are you wanting me to assist you with a job somewhere else? And then that lets me know, like Bimitra said, you haven't done the basics. Another thing I would say is if you are, you know, lucky enough, blessed enough to get the interview, be on time. Don't be late. Don't be kind of late. Don't be. And when I say don't be late, if you have an 11 o'clock interview, you cannot check in with the receptionist at 11 o'clock. Because your interview is supposed to start at 11 o'clock, which means you're supposed to be in the conference room or in the person's office starting the interview at 11, which means you can't be walking in.
And by the same time, don't show up at 10:40 talking about you're here for the 11 o'clock interview. They're not ready for you yet.
You think that's too early to check in? See, I think 10:40 is fine. I think the 10 o'clock, when people say, because the 10:40, you can sit out here in this lobby and wait on us.
I think you can sit in your car. And then you go in at 10:50 and check in.
Oh, that's interesting. Because see, I think maybe because I work downtown and there's elevator banks and there's, and I guess maybe that's another tip I would have. Do a run through. Like, you don't know how long it takes to get to where you're going.
Especially if you're driving in the morning or really any time of day to a different part of town. A lot of the homies live in large cities. You're not used to driving from this part of town over to the other part of town. And when you do that, you're doing it on the weekends or in the evenings. All that stuff that you read in college, in the career center, that stuff works. It's written out there for a reason. And I know it sounds corny, but do a dry run so that you're not late. And then you find out, oh, wait, I got to walk through a sky bridge.
That's
I got to
right.
go up an elevator or banks. That's another 8 minutes that I did not account for. And now it's 10 minutes after 11 and I'm not getting the job because I'm late.
And I think if you're traveling out of town and you're coming in for an interview, I do this even actually with my hearings. If I'm in a new town and so I can't do the run through and I have to be in court, you know, in the morning in some new city, one of the first things I always do is I ask the concierge, how far is the so-and-so building? Should I walk? Should I take an Uber? Do the Ubers come quickly here or do I need to get in a cab? Are the cabs readily available in this city? So that you can kind of account for all of that. But I agree with Richard that you shouldn't be too early, but I think you need to actually account for that. One of the things I will say, and I'll tell this story, I was at a meeting for, and this wasn't a job hunt, but it's still about timeliness. I was sitting in a lobby. We had gotten there about 15 minutes early, which is usually my plan. So my plan is always to be sitting in the lobby 15 minutes before my meeting so that I am ready to walk in and be in the room. It was like, let's say I'm gonna stick with my 11 o'clock meeting. And then it was about 10 minutes after 11 and I realized no one had come to get me for the meeting. And then I went to the receptionist and she had actually gotten distracted and forgot to tell the person that we had arrived. And it was a big lesson for me because then the person actually thought we were late. And she was a very important client to me, very. And so, of course, you can't start the meeting like.
Your people are not on their
exactly.
job.
The reason why
that's why
I'm
you
late.
Need to hire me.
You need to hire me because your receptionist can't even get to, she can't even tell you I'm here. And, but it was a big lesson for me because we were sitting there and really right at 11 o'clock is where I should have went back up to the receptionist and said, hey, it's 11 o'clock. I was supposed to have a meeting with
Demetra.
I know that she was expecting us. I was just, you know, just checking in to see, you know, if she was running late. So that's another point about don't be late.
And I would say the fourth point is when you're actually in the interview or in the informational conversation, a cup of coffee, don't talk too much. Listen, listen. You're there to find out what they're looking for, what advice they have, the nuggets that they can give to you, because you're trying to find out the nuances to separate yourself, to make yourself look different. So take a step back and make sure that you're doing more listening than talking, especially in the informational interview. I mean, you want to answer and ask people's questions, but you want to make sure that you're doing some good proactive listening as well, because a lot of the things that they will tell you, you can use those things that they're telling you about their company's culture and how things work to craft your answer to the next question that they're going to ask you that makes it look like you already understand what it means to work at GE.
Why, you can't do that if you're doing all the talking. So my next thing is too, is, you know, you don't want to be too perfect. And I guess that goes back to what Bimitra was saying, too much canned answers. You have, you know, read all these books and I can't tell you how many times someone asked me something like, so what's a typical day like? And it makes me think like, oh, you really didn't put any effort in this. Like that's like in every resume book, like that's not an actual genuine question.
Or it was in 1992.
Right, right. If your answers are too crafted, too perfect, too whatever, it's like the same thing with your resume. If your cover letter looks like everybody else's, you won't do anything bad, but you're not going to stand out. And you're trying to stand out so that you can get the job. So if you got the same question, asking the same question that everybody today asked, you're not going to do that.
The next tip I have, a sixth tip, is when you're looking for assistance in the job hunt, I want to say this
carefully,
be open to what people are telling you. I think about, I was had a friend looking for a new job and he was moving to Charlotte where I had lived before. And I was like, okay, hey, I lived in Charlotte for 5 years. You know, I know a lot of people there. So, you know, once you get there, you know, let me know, I can connect you with people. And he was basically like, hey, I'm in such and such fraternity. I know a bunch of people that live in Charlotte.
Oh, okay. Wow. He said, wow. No, thank you, basically.
Well, like,
he said, you don't need
and
your
I'm
help.
Like, dude, you're moving to a city without a job. There's no such thing as I know too many people.
Right.
Right? Like you're looking for a job. You're moving somewhere without a job. And that was just really bizarre. And to this day, I'm not sure that he really understood that that's what he was communicating. It's like, I'm good on this.
And
like,
did he get a job quickly after
he
moved?
No, it took him like 15 months to get a job. And then after that, when he would call and whine and complain, I'm like, dude, I tried to help you. You weren't interested in my help. Remember, you had it all on lock.
Right. And you don't have it all on lock. So I was going to say my next tip is don't be afraid of the criticism. Right. So sometimes you're getting the feedback from people they're telling you things, but it's coming between the lines. So when someone says to you, oh, you ask so many questions, or, oh, like Bimitra was saying, sometimes people do this. They'll say, hey, I gave you that tip about following up or joining the grad chapter of the fraternity. Did you do that? And then people will be like, well, no, because such as a, well, I also gave you the tip about, did you do that? Well, no. Well, then people are sort of like, I don't have time. You asked me for my advice. I gave you some tips. So don't be afraid to then step back and take some criticism, take some feedback.
The next tip that I would have is thank you matters. And everybody hates this when I say this. My friends hate this when I say this. When someone does something for you,
no matter what,
I don't care what it is, right?
Thank them.
Somebody introduces you to somebody to help you get a job. Somebody helps you get an interview.
You know,
thank
it's so funny.
Thank you matters. Thank you matters.
And sometimes I think people forget that you have to thank all those people in the
chat. That's right. That's my point.
And so a lot of times, you know, and I remember there was a time that I introduced someone that was looking for a job, and they had come to me, and I was like, hey, I think so-and-so is looking for someone in that exact position. Like, they were looking for a job. I introduced them, and they actually got the job. And to this day, they're always like, and I'm just so grateful that so-and-so hired me.
You're like, you didn't know so-and-so.
And I'm like, but you didn't know so-and-so. And I don't need the stroke, but to me, they never came back and said, like, good looking out. Appreciate that introduction, because it, and the funny thing is, they still work there. They've been working there for like 15 years. Like, it literally was a great fit. So don't forget to thank everybody down the line, because just like you remember who did help you, people remember when they helped you and you didn't thank them.
And I'll say, so anybody that helps you advance the ball to get in a new job, you need to say thank you.
So my final tip is, if you are actually unemployed and you are sitting at home, and it's maybe even in the scenario that Bimitra was talking about, it's been some time, go volunteer. Studies also show that people who volunteer have like a 7 to 10% more chance of getting a job than people who don't volunteer while they're not working. Use your skills. And that might be the chance to like try something out that you were thinking about. I thought I might be interested in some PR. I thought I might be interested in more of a people. I've been in a more of a desk job, you know, with my computer by myself. I wanted to stretch myself. So then put yourself where you're doing some more stuff with that. And so don't be afraid to volunteer while you're actually unemployed.
So in summary, just to hit the highlights, because I know we went through a lot of information, but I'm going to hit the tips very quickly on the tips we had of to do and the things we had of not to do really quickly. Number one, work your network. Number two, get outside of your network. Number three, have an actual paper resume and have those keywords in it that the computers are looking to scan. Number four, get a second set of eyes, preferably someone who works in that industry, to review your resume. Number five, go behind the application process. See who you know who works there and maybe know somebody who works there. Number six, be clear about the role, position, industry you're looking for so people know exactly how to assist you. Number seven, be on LinkedIn, be active in LinkedIn. Number eight, have a professional headshot. Number nine, be yourself, let your personality come through. Number 10, clean up your public internet, social media profile. Switching gears to things not to do, summarizing those tips, the basics, don't be late, dress appropriately, bring paper copies of your resume, things like that. Number two, be prepared. Number three, don't be late, do a dry run. Number four, don't talk too much, listen. Number five, don't be so crafted that you don't stand out. Number six, utilize your criticism and feedback and adjust appropriately. Number seven, thank you matters. Number eight, go volunteer in your field.
Yeah, so we know that was a long episode. We want to thank you for listening. We really do appreciate the support. If you are enjoying Corporate Homing, please feel free to get on and do a review on iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher or whatever platform you are that you listen to.
If you have used any of the Corporate Homing tips and good things have happened for you, please send us a note. Pop us an email, write on our Facebook wall, tweet us and let us know that the good things are happening from you, from the tips, from the podcast.
Yeah, that's also helpful. And then, of course, you can always find us on our website where it's corporatehomie.com.
That's H-O-M-I-E.
On all social media platforms at Corporate Homie. And until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.